Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio. My name is Angela Bachman, and I'm here with Brittany Sheets.
Hey, everyone.
And we also have Doug Cunningham from Workers Independent News joining us. Doug, welcome back.
Hey, always good to be with you guys. Every Friday and, a couple times a week with Charles as well.
Awesome. Yeah, we love having you guys. You guys have your thumb on the labor news. You've got that pulse, and we love hearing about it.
Yeah, well, we love covering it. And I tell you, if we had more resources and more staff, we could be very dangerous.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
Oh, yes. So there's been a lot going on up in Wisconsin we've been following with you guys.
Well, there's been so many outrageous things coming from these hard right ideologues here who now control Wisconsin state government from our governor on down through the legislative ranks. And one of the most outrageous things, among many, many, many outrageous things that they have done to working people, is Scott Walker's appearance at CPAC, the conservative gathering of hard right wing nuts. One of the most offensive things that he said there, of course, he bragged about attacking working people. He strutted around the stage bragging about using billionaire power to attack working people. But he went further than that. He then said, if I could take on 100,000 protesters, then I could deal with foreign policy terrorist threats against the United States, essentially. That's paraphrasing, but that's what he said.
I was really hoping you would bring this up because I read about it this morning and I was like, you have got to be kidding me.
This is one of the most disgusting things I have ever heard a politician say, actually, because for this reason, okay? To compare working people who showed up at those Wisconsin protests, he was referring to the 2011 Wisconsin uprising when he took away collective bargaining rights for public workers in Wisconsin because they had the political power to do it in the legislature. There was a huge fight over that. Now, these people who showed up, I was there. I was in the midst of it, okay? Nobody can tell me what that protest was all about. I was up there every day for weeks. I was in and out of that crowd. I was in and out of that Capitol. I circulated all over the place, you know, for weeks in that crowd. What I found were hardworking men and women, members of the military, members of the police. Remember, there was a strong Cops for Labor contingent. So he's comparing military people, police, nurses, teachers, firefighters who are peacefully assembled to protest an action at their state capital, comparing them with terrorists like ISIS. And that is disgusting. And not only is that disgusting, but his whole portrayal of what he has done to workers here in Wisconsin and writing the book called Unintimidated, that's the title. Well, if he was so unintimidated, where was he during the protests? I didn't see a hide nor hair of our governor during those protests. He did not come down to the Capitol Rotunda and speak to the protesters. He didn't come to the stage out on the Capitol steps and speak to them. He was nowhere to be seen. So that's the kind of reprehensible politicians we're dealing with in Wisconsin. And so this right-to-work bill is going to be rammed through the legislature, the assembly, next week. The Senate passed it this week. Tomorrow, Saturday, there's going to be a worker unity rally at the state capitol once again. There were two rallies earlier this week. Each drew about 2,000 people, give or take a few hundred. And I don't know what the size of the crowd is going to be tomorrow, but I'm going to be there. And lots of other workers are going to be there because it'll be a weekend. I expect it to be bigger than the protest this week. But the right-to-work legislation, which is an anti-union bill, is almost sure to pass because the assembly is very, very lopsided with Republicans controlling a huge majority in the assembly.
I am kind of amazed. The people who are assembling and protesting are not enemies. In fact, they are the citizens who, by their vote, hired Scott Walker to represent them. That is very different from being a terrorist threat or an enemy of any kind.
Well, and absolutely, you're right. And here's the deal. There are moments caught on tape, on video and audio, of Scott Walker talking to one real billionaire supporter, Diane Hendricks, here in Wisconsin, and a fake billionaire supporter,
right.
Which was the fake David Koch phone call that came in during the 2011 uprising. Now, if you take those two things together, Diane Hendricks asked him, oh, Governor, you know, we're just so happy to see you, and is there any chance that we could turn this into a real red state, she says to him in this particular clip. You know, go after the unions, make it right to work. And Walker's response was, well, we're going to take the first step. This was just before he launched his attack on public workers, okay, in 2011. He said, well, the first step is going to be we're going to go after collective bargaining for public workers. That's the first step, and we use divide and conquer. That was his response. Then in this fake David Koch phone call, the fake billionaire David Koch guy says to him, Scott, when we crush those bastards, we're going to fly you out to Cali and show you a good time. Now, our governor, thinking he's talking to a real billionaire about protesters, middle-class working people protesting at the Capitol, right? This guy, this fake billionaire, called them bastards. And then he said, when you crush them, we'll fly you to Cali. Well, if you had any character at all as a governor representing the working people of your state, you would take immediate offense to that comment, and you would rise to the defense of working people in your own state, and you would tell him, they are not what you called them, and I am not out to crush them, and I'm offended, and I never will be going to California, and you never will fly me to California to show me a good time, and that's disgusting, and he would have hung up the phone. Instead, what our unintimidated governor said in response to that comment about crushing us, that would be outstanding, he said.
And laughs. Pretty sure he laughs.
Yeah. And we got that on tape, okay? It is recorded. It's Scott Walker. He thought he was talking to David Koch, all right, the billionaire. Now, do you want that kind of guy to be your president?
No.
I sure don't. I'm sure there are some people that would disagree. I sure don't.
Right. Now, and one thing I've got to add about this right-to-work business, it is deceptive because it is an attack, of course, on the funding of unions with the goal of weakening them. And Scott Walker and other hard right anti-union politicians come along and they say, we need to weaken the unions. Really? There's about 11.7% of all workers in this country that are in unions. Okay? They have been considerably weakened over the years. The billionaires' power, the corporate power, has gone through the roof. Do you hear people like Walker saying, we got to weaken those corporations. We have to weaken those billionaires because they're hurting good, hardworking men and women all across this country with their greed and their wanton power. We have to weaken corporations. No, Walker doesn't say that. That's not unintimidated. That's being in the pocket of billionaires. Mm-hmm. And another quick thing I have to say, and I'm sorry I'm going on so much here without letting you guys get in, but I'm so
rant away, Doug, rant away.
All right. Well, we get very discouraged sometimes when these right-to-work bills and other anti-union bills come up and they get passed by these hard-right politicians. One thing we have to understand is we have to have an historic perspective. Once upon a time, we were facing not anti-union legislation, we were facing machine guns from the Colorado National Guard and from the John D. Rockefeller Company who owned the mines in Ludlow, Colorado. Look it up, the Ludlow Massacre. 1,200 striking coal miners. They were evicted from their homes by the mining company who owned their homes. They set up tents during the strike. And the Colorado National Guard came out at the behest of the billionaires of the day. And they came out and set up machine guns around that camp. And when the miners were away, the men were away, they opened fire on that tent encampment of miners, killing people, including women and children. Now, if we can face down the machine guns of a militarized force doing the bidding of billionaires, we can face down anti-worker politicians like Scott Walker and others all over this country who are passing these bills. The labor movement can take a punch. We are resilient. We are powerful still, even given our small percentage of the overall workforce. And our history has taught us that we can overcome huge odds, extreme violence, and still create labor institutions that are powerful and meaningful and that uphold the rights of working people in this country. So we can get past this right-to-work stuff. We got to keep the spirit. We got to stay strong. We have to be in solidarity with each other. And we have to build our organizations from the ground up and rebuild them time and time again if necessary. But look at our history. We are powerful. We are strong. We are resilient. And we can overcome this.
I agree. And this is just, it's quite a developing situation, and the more I watch this, just because I know so much from talking to you guys and the things you guys report and other things that I read, I'm really in tune to watching Scott Walker because he's a sneaky little man. And honestly, I think he's very, very good at what he does in flying under the radar, and people don't realize it, and that's how he's been elected 3 times, twice in actual election, once in recall in the state of Wisconsin. And it's scary.
It is scary, and don't underestimate him because he's got the power, unlimited resources behind him, okay? Billionaires who can buy the best professionals to run the campaign, who can provide the best staff and all the resources he needs. Keep in mind, though, when he talks about the millions of people out there that really want the taxpayer protected and don't like unions, when he talks about that, you take a look at Gallup polling over the last 80 years. Yes, I said 80 years. Consistently, Gallup has polled over 80 years asking the American people, do you support unions? Do you approve of unions? Every single poll over 80 years has shown majority support for unions among the American people. So who's he talking about when he talks about millions of people? He's talking about the hard right wing. This guy is like a Joe McCarthy incarnated, okay, reincarnated. And people should just pay very close attention to what he's doing and really come to an independent conclusion about what he's saying. Don't take what he's saying at face value, for God's sakes. You know, check it out first and read about it. Because it's this anti-union stance. I don't care if it's Scott Walker or if it's a Democrat or an independent or whoever coming after unions. They are morally wrong, and they are on the wrong side of history, and they do not have the support of the majority of the American people.
I agree. I could not agree more. And with that, we've got to get running here. But real quick, before we go, how can we find out more about you guys at Workers Independent News?
Yeah, we are Workers Independent News at laborradio.org. Just go to the website. Check it out. You know, read some stuff, listen to some stuff, spend some time there, and then connect with us in some fashion to support us or give us news ideas or whatever. Workers Independent News, laborradio.org. We're based here in Madison, Wisconsin. Upwards of almost 150 stations now was the last count that I had that we were aired all around the country. So please just do that. Connect with us and support us if you like what you hear and see on that website, laborradio.org.
Awesome. That was Doug Cunningham of Workers Independent News. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
86% of Michigan voters support paid sick time for employees. David Woodward with the Economic Justice Alliance of Michigan says for 46% of the state's private sector workers, time away from work due to illness means no pay.
1.5 million workers across the state don't have that ability, and you shouldn't have to give up your financial security to get better and take care of your loved ones.
Democratic state lawmakers recently introduced bills that would guarantee Michigan workers the right to earn paid sick days. The legislation says workers could earn 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked. More than a dozen U.S. cities and three states have paid sick leave policies, and Woodward says momentum is building in Michigan.
We've seen states adopt it by referendum. We've seen laws passed at the local and state level. And I think it's a testament. It's an idea whose time has come. We're talking about rewarding work. We're doing right by our people and by our families.
Some opponents say they are against across-the-board mandates, and others argue paid sick leave can hurt job creation. Woodward says that's not the case.
We're talking about what's right, but there's an economic reason to do so. We know it leads to higher productivity. We know that it's good for the economy. And when a worker has to come into work sick, that's a public health issue.
Meanwhile, Republican lawmakers are proposing to ban local governments from requiring businesses to provide sick leave. This is Mary Sherman, Michigan News Connection.
It's a mixed set of grades for Montana's congressional delegation in a new national environmental scorecard unveiled by Montana conservation voters. The scoring was based on votes related to environment, energy, and public health last year. Senator John Tester and former Senator John Walsh each earned 60%. Then Representative Steve Daines scored a zero. MCV board member Rich Day.
Some of our folks in Congress are doing well and others are not when it comes to clean air, clean water, and public land. But Montana's one.
He says being a watchdog on environmental issues is important because corporations usually have strong ties in Congress, and those corporations are not always acting for the benefit of Montanans. Day describes the scorecard as a way for Montanans to judge whether the delegation is standing up for public lands, clean water, and world-class fish and wildlife, things he says are strong state values.
Paying attention to what the people of Montana really want in terms of conservation, in terms of all the things that we like here.
The scorecard was published by the League of Conservation Voters, and it notes a record number of votes in the U.S. House last year that were connected to environmental issues and describes those proposals as an assault on conservation. Now, the scorecard is often controversial because elected leaders' votes are sometimes cast because of concerns legislation doesn't go far enough or has strings attached, and the scorecard is criticized as having a focus that's too narrow. I'm Deborah Smith, Big Sky Connection.
Solar power has been growing by leaps and bounds in the past 5 years, according to a new report from the Solar Foundation, which says Wisconsin added another 100 solar jobs in the past year. Wisconsin ranks 22nd in the nation in number of solar industry jobs, most of them in the solar equipment manufacturing sector. The report says solar has grown by 86% nationwide since the first report 5 years ago. While adding 100 jobs in the past year is not remarkable, Andrea Lukey of the Solar Foundation says it's a positive sign.
There was modest growth of 5% in Wisconsin. It's up 100 jobs from 1,800 to 1,900 total. There are about 128 solar companies. About half of these jobs are coming from the demand side.
Compared with neighboring Midwest states, Wisconsin holds its own with 1,900 solar jobs. Illinois leads with 3,800 solar jobs. Minnesota has 1,800, Indiana 1,400, and Iowa has 900. California continues to lead the nation in the number of solar jobs. According to the report, California is on track to have just over 64,000 workers in the solar industry by the end of the year. While Wisconsin has exhibited steady growth in the number of solar jobs, there are some obstacles to be overcome. Lukey says utility companies in Wisconsin have some ground to cover in moving ahead on the growth of solar power.
There's broad grassroots support for solar in the state, but there's a lack of third-party ownership. There are restrictive net metering and interconnection policies, as well as a lot of anxiety over the utility-imposed fixed charges for solar.
The Solar Foundation suggested Wisconsin utilities should review their policies regarding solar power to make it easier for customers to have solar panels installed at their homes and to help develop a greater demand for home-based solar power. Most of the Wisconsin jobs in the solar industry right now are in the manufacture of equipment used in solar power generation. As the solar industry moves forward, the foundation says it will drive solar installation and sales jobs, which pay well and require less than a college degree. For the Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Tim Morrissey reporting.
The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio, reminds you to register to vote, educate yourself on the issues, be part of the process.